Eli.
Okay. Elohim Tov, Kol Hazman. Kol Hazman, Elohim Tov. I'm going to grab one more book, Pastor Ben, and then I'll be right back.
No worries.
We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Hey, you have to be old enough to remember that part.
I know, right?
Okay.
No, Pastor, it was 2 and 2.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, good morning to all of our S4C YouTube family all over the world. And it seems like we're growing. I got music yesterday from, I believe his name is Corey, living in Australia. I was listening to it today. He has a heart for God, Pastor Ben. But I have to let him know, I went straight to the last song, because the last song was called The End of 120 Years, right? So I wanted to hear that song, but it's just a piano instrumental.
Oh.
But I love piano anyway, so that was beautiful. So anyway, thank you for the music. I really appreciate it. And I'll continue listening to that and enjoying it. So thank you. And let's get started with today's message, Pastor Ben, and let me pray in. I hope you guys have already listened to last night's message. If so, if you haven't, after you listen to this, you can go back and listen to the part one, because part one is telling you why I'm saying what I'm saying today. OK, so let's do this, because we are Hebrew students.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor Ben. Let's just get into this. I've been wanting to address some things, but God says you do what you're called to. And because I can get excited about something and God will say, that's not your calling. Okay, here we go. Avanu Shabbat Shabbat Yit Kadeshim Ha. Tavo Mehuteke Yi Ase Rot Sanaka. Be Arezke Asher Ne Asabe Shamaim. Tenlano Hayom Lechum Hukenu. Usilaklanu et Ashmetenu. Ke Asher Solechem Manachnu Le Asher Ashmilanu. Vial Tevienu de De Masa. Keim hatzilanu min hara, kilacha hamamlecha vehagivura vehatif eret leolamei leolamim. Amen. And beshem Yeshua Hamashiach anachnu tefillim ane rotze ohomer lehakol havarim beYisrael Mashiach ba bekarov. Get ready.
You're not excited.
Hey, I'm excited. Got me speaking Hebrew in here. Okay. So, ane yodia arbe anashim koshevim, ane yodia, you know, a few prayers and here and there, but I can speak a little Hebrew.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Are you going to explain that chain you got around your neck?
Oh, this was my keychain, which I've turned into a necklace. Alan sent me, and what's this?
Naomi and...
No, his wife's not named Naomi. That's Natalie.
No, it's Florin.
Florin and Natalie sent me this. Yeah, Florin and Natalie sent me this. So it's supposed to be a keychain, but I was like, this is too beautiful to be a keychain. This needs to be around my neck. So thank you, you guys. Hope you enjoy your trip to Israel. We're blessed to know you, blessed to be able to look forward to the cloud party with you.
Yeah.
And just reunite with all family members that are already there waiting for us. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, Ha'erez, or no, last night, we went over Moses. And really, I don't know if I have this in our Hebrew class, but it should be one of the movies, right?
Yeah.
Moses the movie.
Yeah.
Because Moses really is just telling the story of Jesus Christ. What I wanted to show you last night was Moses showed you not just the birth of Jesus and how it would happen. He did not just show you that he would go to his own people and his own people would reject him. He did not only show you that after his people reject him, he would leave the Jews and go to a Gentile people and find a bride amongst the Gentile people who happens to have 7 daughters. And then as he's enjoying his life with his new bride, his 7 daughters and all of his children, God says, okay, now it's time for you to go back and do what? And rescue your people, which is the whole story of the whole Bible, right? Yes. So what I'm trying to emphasize to you is what the Lord is emphasizing to me. Don't listen to any of the people who lie or are uninformed, okay? Because some of them lie and say the rapture is mid-trib. Some of them are misinformed and say the rapture is mid-trib because you've never gone into Torah or understood Hebrew or decided to read the Old Testament enough to understand the rapture, okay? Or understand typologies of the Old Testament, understand how God wrote the Bible. So basically, you don't know, okay? But then there are some people that are out there that are sharks in the water. Okay, and these sharks are there to tell you that you're going to go through the tribulation, get a hold of Jim Baker and buy a 7-year food kit, right? And so you got this guy selling food kits, On Point Preparedness, telling people to get ready that they're going to go through half of the tribulation. And I don't mean to say that to be derogatory to Mike, because Mike is an excellent brother in Christ. He's just misinformed concerning the 7 years of tribulation and the exit of the church that doesn't even start the tribulation, but the agreement or the covenant that Satan brings comes probably 6 months after we're already gone. Yes. So I just want you to know that, but that would take study. But Mike, if you ever want to bring me on Point Preparedness and we can talk about it, you can give your part and I can give my part. I don't really know you, but I love you because I think you're very practical, very smart in the way you bring the gospel. But end times prophecy is not your calling. Okay? All right. So, stop laughing at him. He's our buddy. All right. So, I want to give you guys another example of a 7-year tribulation, okay? Because, but to do this, I have to read a little bit of Hebrew to you so you understand. Now, as I read this, this is in Genesis chapter 3. And it is at the very beginning of Genesis chapter 3, okay? And if I read it in English, it was said, and the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field which Yahweh, Elohim, had made, okay? Now watch me read it in Hebrew. Vehanahash, and it says, and the serpent, Vehanahash is the serpent. Ve is and the serpent, Hanahash, Haya, Arum, Mechol, Hayat, Kayat, Hasadeh, Asher, Aseh, Yahweh, Elohim, Leomer, Al Haisha, Of ki omer Elohim lo te koelu mikol etz hagan. And what the snake is saying to the woman is, did God really say to you that you cannot eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden? Okay, so ve te omer haisha Eve al hanahash the serpent. Mi peri et hagan nechol. From the trees we may eat. It says, but the tree that is in the middle of the garden, God says, do not eat of that or else you will die. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Hanahash continues and says, oh, God, oh, you will not die. For God knows that if you eat of it, and Hanahash is just lying, okay? Now, Why do I read this? Because I want to show you how God plays on that word to show you a rapture scenario in the book of Samuel. Okay. And Brother Ryan brought this to my attention. I had already read it and knew it, but I had never really gone back to look at some of the details of it. So let's look at this. Okay. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, 11 is always a bad number, it seems. It's like the number of confusion. Okay. 9, 11. Judgment and confusion. Okay. So it says here.
What verse, Pastor?
We're in verse 1. It says, Nahash, the Ammonite, went up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. Now, God's people are living in Jabesh-Gilead, and Nahash goes up here. He's an Ammonite, and he seizes Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to him, okay, said to him, make a treaty with us and we will be subject to you. Now listen again. Nahash the Amorite went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us and we will be subject to you. To who? Nahash, the serpent. So the people of Israel are saying, look, we'll make a treaty with you, and then we'll be servants to you. And then, but Nahash the Ammonite said, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out your right eye of every one of you, and so bring disgrace on all of Israel. So the serpent says, I'll make a treaty with you, but it's only to embarrass you, destroy you. That's the only way I'm going to make a treaty with you, okay? But he's willing to make the treaty. So the elder of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days. He said, I don't want to make the treaty. We're not going to make, that doesn't sound like a good deal. You're going to gouge out our eyes, okay, and embarrass the whole, all of God's people. Give us 7 days, they say. He says, the elder of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days and we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one rescues us, we will surrender to you. Now, the people of God want to make a deal with the snake. And that day is coming. Because the Antichrist wants to make a deal with Israel. Okay? Understand that. But listen to the sentence after that when he says, give us 7 days. The Jewish people say, give us 7 days. If nobody rescues us, we'll consider your offer. But the king that has been newly appointed, which is Saul, okay?
Right.
Not a good person. Not a good person at the end, but at the beginning, he had a heart for the people. But the king came and rescued the nation of Israel. Let's read this because it's amazing what he does.
If no one comes and rescues us, if no one rescues us within that 7 days, we will surrender to you. They're telling Nahash, the serpent, because Nahash, the Ammonite, has the name serpent. Okay.
Yeah.
And it says, when the messenger came to Geba of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then, Saul was returning from the field behind his oxen, and he asked, what is wrong with the people? Why are they weeping? Then they repeated to him the men of Jabesh-Gilead had said. So now the whole, all of God's people are in anguish because they know that they're about to be destroyed by Hanahash, by the snake or the serpent, okay? But remember, he asked him, give us 7 days, okay? Because a rescuer is coming, and the rescuer is who? The king of Israel, who happens to be Saul at this time. When Saul heard these words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, cut them in pieces, and sent the pieces by messenger throughout Israel, proclaiming, this is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel. Then the terror of the Lord fell upon the people, and they turned out as one man. So now they're united. Let's fight. Wow. Behind who? The king.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the king does come, and he does defeat the Ammonites, and he kills Hanahash, right?
Yeah.
And now, in this whole thing, they say, now who were the people that said, we shouldn't have Saul rule over us? Bring them forth and let's kill them. These are the Jews that said, we don't want Saul ruling over us. The Jews that said, we don't want Jesus ruling over us. But Saul says to them, no one is going to be killed today. He forgives them and says, this will be a day of to be remembered as a day of honor. Okay? So you got the whole 7-year tribulation. And remember now, it's a 7-day rescue. Give us 7 days, okay? I'm trying to explain to you that the 7 years is always being alluded to in the Old Testament to tell you that the rapture is pre-tribulational. You understand? The rescue does not happen until the end of the 7th year. Before Moses comes back to rescue Israel, he's already married to a Gentile bride. So you got to understand what we're trying to understand. The week, or the Jacob's trouble, the time of the 7 years, that's the time of Jacob's trouble, is got called Israel's trouble. It is not the time of the church trouble. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Yeah. Understand? So there's a lot of things. We could go through Joseph. We can go through all of the many stories in the Bible, and we'll show you that the 7 years does not include the church. Okay? But if you want to continue preaching it, it's out of line with what God is about to do, and it's out of line with Scripture. So for us who understand and know, you really need to dig in and say, wait a minute. If the rapture is pre-tribulational, I don't want to be here for the tribulation.
Hello.
So now you have to adjust your conduct because of what the Lord told me the other day.
Yes.
And what did the Lord tell me? There are people that call themselves Christians.
Oh, yeah.
They're sitting on the ark, but they're enjoying the warmth or the feel of their feet in the water. What God showed me. He said, Sandy, this is not a swimming pool. There's no sharks in swimming pools.
Right.
This is an ocean. There's sharks, electric eels, killer whales.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff in the world that you are not prepared to fight against. Okay?
Yeah.
So God is saying to his people in this last year, in this 120th year of this count, God is saying, take your feet out of the water.
Yes.
Because Nahash has sent out sharks in the water to try to use what you finding as a pleasure and a joy to pull you back into the world so that you miss the pre-tribulation rapture. You understand? Okay.
Amen.
So the Lord wants me to teach you, because he says you don't have to...
be ridiculous and say, well, once I'm saved, I'm always saved. You don't have to do that. You can, because you're saying, well, I'm not perfect and Jesus finished it. But no, you have a responsibility to keep the relationship, and you still have a responsibility to keep the commandments of God, and meaning the commandments that Jesus Christ laid out, that you shall not do this, you shall not. And your heart needs to be right as well. So you still have a responsibility in the relationship with God. There are people that came to Christ and the cares of the world came up and choked out the word, and they lost salvation because of what? Because they weren't watching and they weren't doing the things they needed to do to hold on to salvation, which is something, a free gift God has given you by grace, meaning that it was free and it is free and you received it free. Now you got the free gift. All God's saying is take care of it. Okay? So someone said to me, Pastor Sandy, you're acting like once we accept Christ, we could be perfect Christians. We're going to sin. Pump the brakes. God knows that. God has always set up a system where he could stay in relationship with his people. You understand? God never made a system for perfect human beings. God never made a system for human beings that once they are his people, that they now have to be perfect or else they can't stay in relationship. God knew that we were not perfect, but God, in his mercy and in his grace, created a system where that Christians or even Israel were able to stay in relationship with God even after they sinned. And what was the system for Israel? Sacrifice. Okay? It was a matter of if you sin, this is how you take care of the sin. Leviticus is filled with how to deal with this. If you should do this to your neighbor, this is what you should do. You should take an ox, take it to the priest. Then if you should do this, this is what you should do. You should go and make retribution. And then you do this and you take an ox and you sacrifice. And so all of these sacrifices and offerings, which I think there are five of them, are these five offerings were so that you could stay in relationship with God. Because God is an all-consuming fire, and when you're out of relationship with him, you can't be in his presence.
Amen.
So you want to be in relationship.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you how to be a perfect Christian. You're like, oh, this is great. Now I'm going to learn how to live in perfection. Pastor Sandy said you could be a perfect Christian. He's a heretic. I want you to listen before you say that. God said David was a perfect man after a man after his own heart, a perfect man.
Yes.
Now, if you know the story of David, you know otherwise.
Right.
Even God said because of his way in war, he was such a bloody man that God did not even want him to build the temple.
Right.
And God also said, because of Bathsheba and what you did with Uriah's wife and sleeping with her and then having him killed in battle, God is like, okay. But then after all of that, God is saying, David was a perfect man after my own heart. So what made David perfect? The willingness to confess and repent. Okay? When he came to David, I think it was Nathan, he came to David to tell him what he had done and God's displeasure with him. David repented from what he had done. Sackcloth and ashes. Okay? That repentance, even though God said you must bear the consequences of some of the sins that he had done, he had did some other things too, like doing the census without out of the order of God. That was against God's law. But God said, okay, he repented, but God said, okay, I know you repented, but now you got to pay the consequences.
Right.
Okay? So repentance does not always stop consequences, and that is the horrible thing about sin. Because if you're sinning, the consequences may still occur, but God may still forgive you. And so you want to stay away from sin because sin brings consequences that the world will give you and God will forgive you. I know people went to jail and they said they were sorry and they asked God to forgive them and they became Christians. And the judge says, well, you're still going to prison.
Right. Lecture.
Okay. Ryan. So understand that. Now, so how do you stay in relationship with God and be a perfect Christian? You have to stay in relationship, okay? And so you have to, first of all, now in these days, you have to come and you have to place your sin on the altar, okay? Because the altar of the temple was where you brought your offering so that you could get right with God. Okay. So you want to come forth. Pastor Ben does a prayer service on Sunday mornings and he includes all of you.
Yeah.
I would ask Pastor Ben and I would ask each and every one of you if Pastor Ben would give you the opportunity to say, this is the sin in my life. I am now bringing it to the altar right now in prayer this morning, Lord. It may be something that you haven't overcome yet. Yes. Not overcoming sin does not make you not perfect.
Right.
As long as you're in relationship and your confession to God is, I want to get rid of this.
Yes.
Okay? So God is going to help you into overcoming sins that you have not been able to overcome while you're still in perfect relationship. Why? Because you're confessing the sin and bringing it to the altar. This keeps you in relationship with God.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that work, Sandy? No, that is God's way of staying in relationship with you. You understand?
Yeah.
He didn't tell you to go out witnessing. He said, confess.
Yes.
Okay? Confession is not works. Repentance is not works. Okay? Now.
Amen. I will do that, Pastor Sam.
Praise God. To let him know, okay? And God says, putting this on the altar, repenting, confessing. And then God says, now make a confession of coming out of agreement with it.
Yes.
Because you cannot walk in agreement with something and then have it leave you.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
You have to come out of agreement. So whatever sin that's in a person's life, they have to now say, drinking every day is a sin. And I'm confessing it to you, Father. I'm asking you right now in Jesus' name to help me to overcome this sin by the power of your Holy Spirit. Okay, now you make that confession and then you say, I no longer make excuses for why I drink, when I drink, how much I drink. I'm not going to make excuses, because when you make excuses, what you do is you build up a stronghold against anybody who's trying to tell you it's sin.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you it's sin. But since you have so many excuses, you can't get out of it because you're in agreement with it.
Yeah.
So now come out of agreement.
Yeah.
So this is the way. Repenting, confessing, then coming out of agreement.
Yes.
I repent, Father God. I confess what this is wrong. Yeah. Now I'm speaking to the situation. I'm no longer in agreement. I will not give excuses to this sin. Oh, I only curse when people make me mad. That's an excuse.
Yes.
Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth, right? That's the commandment.
Yes.
It's not just the Ten Commandments. That's the commandment that Christ gave in the new blood covenant. Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth, okay? So now that you know how to do that, let's look at John, the first John, the epistle, chapter 1, And I think we'll probably start at verse 5. Thank you for letting me use your Hebrew book, Pastor Ben.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay. So now I'm going to go to the Epistle of John. Okay? And in the Epistle of John, we're going to look at this very important thing. In the beginning, okay, so we're going to start at verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." You hear that?
Amen.
"But if we walk in the light," meaning that, what does it mean to walk in the light? We'll go over that, okay? "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another," okay? One with another. "And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Okay? Now, how does it do it? "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves."
Yes.
"And the truth is not in us." Okay?
Amen.
Now, listen. There are things in our lives that God wants to get rid of and destroy.
Yes.
Okay? And to make, I had a whole lot of problems, but I'm going to make one very, very, the scripture says, "Be angry, but sin not."
Yes.
And there's other scriptures that says, "Be slow to anger." Okay?
Yes.
I was fast to anger. Okay? You look at me the wrong way, I'm in jail, you're in a hospital. Okay, that was my motto. Okay? He said, "Oh God, should I still follow Pastor Sandy?" I'm delivered. But God was not pleased with the way I handled anger.
Yes.
He wanted me to purge it. But I kept saying, "Well, it's only when they do something to me that I act this way. It's not my fault."
Right.
What am I doing? I'm digging a stronghold
yes.
for my sin. I'm in agreement with it still. You understand?
Yes.
So God is continually trying to tell me, "You got to get this out of your life." Why couldn't he get it out of my life? Why was it lasting so long?
In agreement with it.
I was in agreement with it. When I sinned, I would say, "Lord, I repent." But God says, "I don't want you. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, God is not pleased with." This is what Hebrews says. God don't want you always apologizing.
Right.
What God wants you to do is be an overcomer. God wanted me to be an overcomer. You understand? So he said, "You got to deal with this. And the first thing you've got to do is come out of agreement with the fact
yeah.
that getting angry is justified."
Right.
Okay? And so it's like the guy back in the back was cursing me out while I'm trying to help the people to the car. Oh, elderly lady and everything. And this guy's just cursing me out, calling pastor this and pastor this and all. And in the old days, oh my goodness, God, let me tell you. He should have been praising God that I was saved, okay? But that's not the proper way to act for a Christian. I ignored him. He kept cursing. He said, "Go ahead and get mad." I said, "I don't get mad. I'm like my father. I'm slow to anger."
Yeah.
And he walked away, okay?
Wow.
That's deliverance, okay? So God may want to deliver you. If you confess... God is able to cleanse you from this and deliver you when you come out of agreement.
Pastor Sandy, can you clarify the difference between apologizing to God and confessing to God?
Let me tell you something. Listen, an apology and a confession can basically be the same thing,
mm-hmm.
okay? But sometimes, but listen, this is what God says. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a person apologizes to you and they really know they're going to do it again.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry I stole your money, but it was just there.
Right.
And if you leave it there again, I'll steal it. Right. But I got caught, so I want to apologize. Right. Right? Okay, that's apology. But your heart is not right because you do it again.
Right.
Okay. Repentance is turning away from it. Confessing is saying, God, I want your help to be delivered from it. Coming out of agreement is saying, God, I want your help to be delivered from it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a thieving little heart, whenever somebody leaves something around, you still got a thieving little heart. I don't care how many times you apologize. Most people apologize because they got caught.
Right.
I want to be delivered. You understand? I want to be delivered. I want to be able to say, I don't have a lust problem. I want to say, I don't have an anger problem. I don't have a profanity problem. How am I going to do this? By confessing it, right? By repenting, by confessing it, and then by not making excuses for it and staying in agreement with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's continue reading this because this is good stuff, okay? Now, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. So if you say you are without sin, you deceive yourself, and Jesus ain't don't live in you. If we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us. Now, to purify you, he says, and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our heart. Okay? So confessing sin puts you in agreement with God. Okay? And it makes you not call God a liar. Because once you start saying, I ain't sinned, I ain't done nothing,
right.
God said, you a liar.
Right.
And now you're calling God a liar. Okay? And it says, now it says, and the word has no place in them. Now, someone said to me, well, that's when somebody's in the world and then they're in sin and then they confess their sins and then God purifies them and now they're born again because they confess their sins. Okay, let's go to chapter 2. My dear children, who are his real dear children? He's talking about people who are a part of his family, Christians. The whole thing's to Christians, but some people make arguments for nothing. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I love, I don't want to say I love the NIV, but the NIV gets it correct in this, that it says he is the atoning sacrifice, meaning that the work is continually moving.
Yeah.
It is a verb. You understand? He is an atoning sacrifice. He is continuing. Now, I don't want to get into all that because we'll sound like school. Well, we are, right? Being an atoning, like they translated this from Hebrew to Greek. And then they translated the Greek to English, okay? In the Hebrew, he's saying he is the atoning sacrifice using the mem before the word to let you know that it is a present tense thing,
yeah,
that is a verb that is going on right now.
So
you understand?
Perpetual.
It is perpetual. It is continually going on. Now, it doesn't have forever, so it's not perpetual in that way. But at the end of grace, when Christ calls us up, we no longer are going to be under this sin because we'll no longer be in a sin body. So I want you to understand, you can be delivered from sin, but this is the system.
Yeah.
If you should sin, we have an advocate, and he is the atoning sacrifice, and he's forever sitting next to God doing this work. Mm-hmm. When his children, he says, I wish that you would not sin, but if you do sin, you have an atoning sacrifice in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is there making atonement for your sins and pleading for God. And he so you sin, you confess it, and Jesus says, "My blood," and you're cleansed.
Yes.
Now your job is to go back and get into the ministry and do the things you're supposed to do in Christ. One of the five sacrifices, if you read in the Hebrew, I haven't brought them all today, is a guilt offering. That means God says, now that you've confessed and you've already confessed this sin, I don't want to hear about it no more. That's what God is saying. He's saying, because my son died on the cross, one of those sacrifices that he died on the cross was the guilt offering. He poured out his soul to us so that we can also have forgiveness or for guilt. You don't want to sin, and then Satan is constantly telling you, how could you do this? Why would somebody do? You're a bad person. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, because I accept the atoning sacrifice for my sin, and one of those sacrifices was guilt, and I refuse to live in it. It's time for me to get back to work and live for God.
Yes.
You understand?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue here. Now, it says here in one of the scriptures, it says, that's in John, First John. It says, darkness. I want you to understand darkness. Now, as we read this, look, he says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. You hear that?
Yes.
Okay. And it says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Okay. This is an atonement thing. That means that you are working out your salvation. You see that verb? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling is a verb. Yeah. Why? You have an atoning sacrifice in heaven. So we can all stay perfect. We just need to work out our salvation by confessing, because he's always atoning. So you can stay in relationship with God. The Lord told me, look, this is the message I'm giving you toward about the rapture. Prepare my people to leave. The way I'm preparing you is to teach you how to stay in relationship with God, because I can't teach you to be perfect, because God never made any like that.
Right.
But you can be perfect if you stay in confession, stay in relationship, come out of agreement with sin, so that you can actually live for him and be counted worthy to escape all that is about to come upon the world. And it's about to come in this 120th year.
Pastor, tell them where you're reading from.
I'm still in 1 John, and I'm in chapter 2, and I just read 4, verse 4. It says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his words, God's love truly made perfect in him. This is how we know that we know him. Whosoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked.
Yes.
How did Jesus walk? In obedience. What? Jesus had to be obedient?
He did.
Philippians, I believe 2, says that Jesus learned obedience.
Yep.
Because he was in the flesh. He was in the body. He was a man. So he had to learn obedience. God never had to be obedient to anyone. But in the flesh, Jesus had to learn. And he said he learned obedience all the way to the cross. And he says, for his obedience, God has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, okay? Yeshua. Okay, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Esau, if you're Arabic, at the name of Jesus, if you're Spanish, because God created the languages. But at this name is the highest name in the universe among all languages, because of his obedience to God all the way to the cross.
Yes.
Okay, so no one is going to get out of this alive without obedience.
Amen. 10 minutes, Pastor.
Because you can die in your sin if you don't want to be obedient.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. I want to read this. Okay, it says, he came into the world and darkness did not understand him. Okay, and I'm reading that because in the Epistle of John we just read, if you say that you have not sinned, you're living in darkness.
Yes.
Okay, but I want you to understand what darkness is. Okay, it's the word skotos in the Greek, and it does have the definition of darkness or night, but it is speaking not of just the meaning of the word. It also means, listen, ignorance respecting divine things and human duty.
Mm.
So a person who is ignorant of respecting divine things and human duty, which is to obey God, and accompanying ungodliness and immorality together with the consequence of the misery in hell. So God is saying, don't walk in darkness. Don't be ignorant and disrespectful of divine things and your human duty.
Yes.
One of the human duties of all mankind is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because God has commanded that all men everywhere repent and give their life to Christ. There's one name given among men where God says everyone must repent and give their life to Christ. So if a person goes before God and they want to claim their goodness, they cannot, because they have disobeyed, ignored what you have ignored, divine things and your human duty, which is to accept Christ.
Yes.
Now, if you accept Jesus and you continue to walk in sin, you are ignoring and disrespecting divine things.
Mm, once saved, always saved.
You know, you don't even have to preach against it. The whole Bible does. Okay? So, we don't want to be in darkness. I'm going to read a scripture. My little children, okay, by the... no sacrifice. Oh, Hebrews. Check this out. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, it says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I'm going to back up. It says, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice. He says continually. How are we going to do it? The fruit of our lips.
Yes.
Your confession is your sacrifice.
Yes.
The fruit of your lips. So you bring your confession, and that is your sacrifice to God. I'm coming to the altar. I'm bringing the fruit of my lips, and I'm putting it on the altar. If I want to praise God, I bring the fruit of my lips, and I bring it to the altar, and I give thanks to God. All sacrifices are now in your mouth. Okay? And so now if you sin, you got to with your mouth.
Yeah.
If you want to praise God, with your mouth.
Yeah.
You understand? So everything, all sacrifices are upon our mouth. Now, in Ezra chapter 10, verse 11, it says, now, therefore, confession unto the Lord, God, your Father, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Now, they had been marrying wives, and God's not against mixed marriages. God is against marrying people who don't love him. Okay?
You said mixed marriages. What's that?
Yeah, like God is not against a black person marrying a white person,
right.
Chinese person marrying a Jewish person.
Right.
But you can't marry a Chinese person and then become a Buddhist. Now you've defiled your marriage,
right,
because you've left your God to start doing. Or you can't marry a woman who is confessing a false religion and think that you can be in it. Okay,
right.
You can't do that.
Amen.
Okay, so but God is telling them. But listen, what Ezra tells them. Now, therefore, confess unto the Lord.
So the confessing was that what we're doing is wrong. Right. Why is he telling them to confess? Because there was no temple standing at the time. And there was no place to bring the offerings. Wow. So now it turned over to confession. Even Daniel in 9 verse 4, he said, I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made my confession and said to the Lord, okay,
right,
the great and dreadful God, keeping his covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandment. Mm-hmm. But he made a confession. Why? The temple was not standing at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. But now in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, if you want to accept God, he says, for with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes.
Everything is done from your mouth.
Yes.
Okay? Now, why? There's no temple standing right now. You ain't got the Jews are trying to rebuild the temple so they can go back to, because they're ignorant of Christ. They're trying to build the temple so they can go back to sacrifices, which is abominable to God because the last sacrifice has already been made.
Yes.
Okay? So this is what I want to say to you guys. I want us to make sure that we survive this thing. I want us who are sitting on a beautifully built ark called Jesus,
yes,
with our feet dangling in the world, doing shots with our friends on Friday night, to get your feet out of the water. I want everyone who calls themselves to be in Christ to now say, I can no longer play with this because I'm in the 120th year. And I need to make sure that my relationship is right with God. Because if your relationship is right with God and you're found worthy to escape what is about to come upon the earth, you will be pleased forever.
Yeah.
But if you keep your feet dangled and somebody pulls you back into the world and you find yourself lukewarm and not prepared to go, then that is not on God. He gave you a free gift,
yeah,
called eternal life, and you walked around with it dangling out of your pocket as, yeah, if it wasn't valuable. This is valuable, but God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is a very valuable thing you have in your possession, is Jesus.
Yes.
It's very valuable.
Yes.
It is eternally valuable. You understand?
Yes.
You can't put a price on it. Blood, that's about it. But you cannot. The blood of Christ, that's it. But you cannot put a price or an understanding on what God has done for you by imputing into you his spirit because of your confession and giving you eternal life. And now that you have it in it, the scripture says, do not frustrate the grace of the Holy Spirit by continuing to do what you want and not wanting to be in obedience. Die to yourself. Paul says, I die to myself daily. Why is he dying? Because he knows this is an ongoing battle, and the atoning sacrifices in heaven, making sure that he's helping us stay on point and stay in relationship with this life. You understand? I hope you guys understand what I'm doing here. First, I'm letting you know that the rapture is pre-tribulational. Why? Because I don't want you to be here.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be here when the rapture happens. And the rapture is pre-tribulational. And you have to understand that if you don't want to be here, God has standards of who he's taking and who he's not taking. And so therefore, get your feet out of the water, God says. Okay. That's the message, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
God says, take your feet out of the water. What I know it feels good on your toes. I know it gets you more friends.
Uh-huh.
But take your feet out of the water.
Amen.
Put them completely in the ark and wait for his coming. Because he is coming. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we pray out, Pastor?
Yes, let's pray out. Yivarekaka Adonai.
Beautiful message. Wonderful message.
Hallelujah. Well, I can't wait what God has for me on Sunday. I am preaching on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And God gave me a message on Sunday, really, already. But
I haven't, you know, got all of it together, but he definitely has given me a message for Sunday.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. I love you guys. That's the only reason why I do exactly what God tells me to do. And I fear God more than I fear you. That's why I did this message today, because I want all of us, wherever you are in the world, to stay in relationship. You can be perfect. All you have to do is not be one of those knuckleheads walking around sinning, talking about, I don't have to repent. I'm already saved. And no, you do. You have to repent. You have to confess. You have to stay in relationship, okay?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka Yair Adonai panavilecha v'huneka Yi'aseh panavilecha Ve'yasim l'kai shalom, ve'yasim l'kai shalom. And the Lord said, when you, Moses, when you bless my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Le'itriot be'shavua haba. Nishir be Yeshua HaMashiach, that means stay in Jesus, the Messiah. Praise God.
Amen.